Hello, everybody, and welcome to our service for Wednesday of Holy Week. Tonight, we will be thinking about the character of Judas and the challenging subject of betrayal. And just like the previous days, I've chosen a hymn to listen to and to reflect upon. So if you have access to the internet, the hymn that I've chosen for today's service is How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Our Bible reading today is from John's Gospel, chapter 13, reading from verses 21 to 32. Although we will be referring to the accounts of Judas's betrayal in the other Gospels also, I'm going to primarily focus on the reading which I'm going to read for you now, from John chapter 13, verses 21 to 32. After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. "What you are about to do, do quickly," Jesus told him. But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, many thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the feast or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. Here ends our Bible reading. And may I speak today in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to touch in today on one of the rawest and most difficult incidents that takes place during this final week of Jesus' earthly life. And the reason that it is raw is that it touches something very deep within each one of us. None of us likes to think of those we consider to be our friends letting us down. But when they not only let us down, but betray us, it's very hard to live with that. It was in the midst of an intimate meal with his closest friends, the 12 disciples, that Jesus dropped a bombshell. As they gathered around the table to share the Passover meal, Jesus said that one of the 12 would that night betray him to the authorities. The disciples couldn't get their head around that at all. They stared at one another at a loss to know which of them he meant and began to interrogate each other. Jesus had hit a raw nerve. "Surely not I," the disciples responded in turn to Jesus, perhaps exposing their underlying doubts. Because in Jerusalem, who knows how many of the disciples had already been approached by Jesus' enemies, probing for access and a way to get rid of him forever. And not long after Jesus' bombshell in John's account of the gospel, Judas quietly left the room, arousing no suspicion. Naturally, the group's treasurer might have to excuse himself to purchase supplies or perhaps to run an errand of charity. But when we think about this word, betrayal, it's something that goes deep under our skin. And perhaps just like those first disciples, it exposes underlying doubts about ourselves. Would we betray someone we loved? None of us would like to think that we would. And yet, as we look at Judas, the most famous or infamous betrayer in history, it's more his ordinariness than his villainy that's immediately striking. You see, Judas, just like all the other disciples, had been handpicked by Jesus after a long night of prayer. And as the treasurer appointed by the group, Judas must obviously have held all their trust. Even at the Last Supper, it would seem that Judas sat in an honored place near Jesus, where Jesus could speak to him without the others hearing. And perhaps this is what is so disturbing about Judas. How could someone who was so close to Jesus, someone who seemed to be such an upstanding, regular guy, betray the Son of God? And yet, even as we ask that question, we can also think in this last week of Jesus' life of the remaining disciples fleeing from Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. We can think about Peter swearing in the courtyard of the high priest when he was questioned, "I do not know the man." And we can even think of how the 11 disciples refused to believe the early reports that would come in of Jesus' resurrection on the first Easter Sunday. Judas's act of betrayal, it differed considerably in degree, but not in kind, from many of the other disloyalties which happened to Jesus during this last week of his life. And there are some theories that commentators have put forward about Judas, which might be important for us to think about today. According to some, for example, Judas was greedy for money. Both Matthew and Luke record that Judas was given 30 silver coins for betraying Jesus to the chief priests. And there is certainly something pretty unpleasant and unsettling about the thought of money changing hands. And then there was that very chilling question posed by Judas to the chief priests in Matthew's gospel account, where Judas asked, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" And I wonder, is there maybe a question, an uncomfortable question, that's raised here to each one of us about maybe having our price or being enticed to disown Jesus? It could be a financial temptation. It could be the fear of what others might think of us if we don't renounce our faith in him. But maybe we too would and could disown Jesus if certain carrots were dangled in front of us. But what's really distressing about Judas is that he went looking for the opportunity to betray Jesus for personal gain. Both Luke and John, in their gospel accounts, tell us quite simply that Satan entered Judas, or put it into his mind to betray Jesus. That's a grim conclusion to reach, but perhaps it's the only logical explanation for what Judas did. But in conclusion today, I want to look at how Jesus responded to betrayal in this last week of his life. And the thing that is so moving and so striking for me is Jesus' unquenchable love, even for those who betrayed him. And so when Judas led a lynch mob into the garden to get Jesus in Matthew's account, he's addressed by Jesus as friend. It's love that characterizes Jesus' response in this terrible last week of his life. We've heard already of how the other disciples all fled from Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. But still, Jesus loved them. His own nation had him executed. And yet, even while he was stretched out on a cross in the posture of ultimate disgrace, Jesus can still find the breath and the grace to pray, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." Is that not the most amazing response of love to betrayal that we could ever encounter? I want to suggest to you today that the part Judas plays in the betrayal of Jesus sounds a solemn warning to every single one of us. Because no matter how close we might ever consider ourselves to be to Jesus, we can slip away. And we do need to be very aware of that capacity we all have to betray him. It's so easy to allow different things in our lives to take over and to drive him out. And so we need to be aware of where our weaknesses lie and to be on our guard against them. Let us pray. Lord God, we feel challenged by this subject of Judas and betrayal. And we recognize that in each one of our lives, there are instincts and tendencies below the surface that can lead us astray. We pray for your protection over us in the areas many of us struggle with in terms of temptation: the area of money and possessions, the desire to have power over others, and the temptations that can come our way in the area of inappropriate relationships. Help us, we pray, to be humble, faithful, and vigilant, and to give you the proper place in our lives as we seek to walk under the banner of your protection and to honor you in our daily lives. We ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And the response in the rest of our prayers today to "Lord, in your mercy," is, "Hear our prayer." Lord, we want to pray especially today for all who feel betrayed and let down by people they trusted. We pray especially for all whose wounds are raw and very painful at this time, as they feel let down perhaps by a spouse or partner, by a member of their family, by a colleague or employer or a friend. And in these very painful situations, we pray for the healing power of Jesus to bring healing and restoration to all whose lives are in turmoil because of betrayal. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We continue to pray at this time for our government and for all who are in authority as they try to enforce difficult restrictions at this time for our good. We pray for good advice and the best possible practice as we work together to stem the flow and spread of the coronavirus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we continue to lift before you, Lord, all who make themselves vulnerable as they serve us in supermarkets, pharmacies, testing centers, schools, nursing homes, and hospitals. We pray for all who serve in deliveries, in care for the community, in people's homes, and for those who are assisting vulnerable and elderly family and neighbors, and all those in isolation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray today for the sick and for all who have been bereaved in recent days. We think of those who are seriously ill and separated from their loved ones, and we pray for those who are caring for them, even as we pray right now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. So, merciful Father, we ask you to accept these are prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And so may Christ draw you to himself, and grant that you find in his cross a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Thank you for joining us in our service today, and we look forward to sharing another devotional message from this Holy Week tomorrow, Maundy Thursday. And we look forward to your company then. Bye-bye.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss! The father turns his face away as wounds which mother chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. Ooh. I will not boast in no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know. Have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. His wounds have paid my ransom.